Hello and welcome to this week's podcast on children's religious education at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Palo Alto. I'm Joe Chi, a member of the church's CRE committee and a teacher educator at Foothill College.
And I'm Dan Harper, Assistant Minister of Religious Education.
Today we're going to talk about how to do a check-in with children. Here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Palo Alto, many of our Sunday school classes start with a check-in. Dan, maybe we should start by telling us what a check-in is.
Well, at its most basic, a check-in is a time when everyone in the group gets time to talk about what is going on in their lives right now. So the neo-pagan theologian Starhawk describes check-in like this. She says, "Begin each meeting or a family dinner by going around the circle, giving each person a chance to share how she or he is feeling, what important events have occurred, and so on." So that's from Starhawk's book, Truth or Dare. And you can see that this is the sort of thing that can be done in any smallish-sized gathering of people. So check-in was one of those group process techniques used by second-wave feminism, and it works so well that we continue to use it.
You said check-in comes from second-wave feminism. What do you mean by that?
Well, second wave feminism was the feminist movement from the 1960s and 70s, and it played a central role in Unitarian Universalism. The second wave feminists had quite a few group process techniques that made sure we would value every person for who they are. These are group process techniques that get past sexist bias that devalued women and girls. So Starhawk puts it this way. She says, "To be valued, we must first be seen. In a nurturing family, children are seen and valued for being who they are, not for fulfilling their parents' fantasies or desires. Groups that restore imminent value provide a process by which we can be seen and known for who we are, not for the roles we play or the achievements we can count." So Starhawk said that back in 1987. As Unitarian Universalists, we might put it a little bit differently. The principles and purposes of the Unitarian Universalist Association say that we covenant together to affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and that, of course, includes children. Doing a check-in is a way to make sure that each child is seen and heard for who they are, not as a member of the class, not as a name on an attendance sheet, but as a real-life human being just like ourselves. And as a side note, I should add that our principles and purposes grew out of a process that got started by second-wave feminists back in the 1970s. So I don't think it's coincidence that our principles and purposes align so well with the group process technique of check-in.
That was a good theoretical and theological justification for doing check-ins in our Sunday school classes.
Yeah, it was a pretty long answer, wasn't it?
Yes, but it's important. Now that we have that background, can you tell us how to lead a check-in with children?
Well, in our Sunday school classes, we have to do check-in a little differently than the method Starhawk describes. She assumes check-in takes place in an existing group or in a family where everyone already knows each other. But in our Sunday school classes, we often have new children joining the class. So this year I'm teaching Sunday school during our 11 o'clock service, and I think we have had new children join our class 2 out of 3 Sundays. So the first thing that I'd say when I'm leading a check-in is that everyone should say their name as we go around to do the check-in. So I usually tell the children that we're going to go around the circle, and of course I always have them sit in a circle to do check-in. We'll go around the circle, and when your turn comes, first you say your name. And then you can say one good thing that happened and one bad thing that's happened to you in the past week. Or you say to the children, "You can pass," which means you don't have to say anything at all, except that I do ask that everyone says their name.
Do the adults participate in the check-in as well?
Absolutely. The adult Sunday school teachers help to set the tone by participating in the check-in, and they set a good example for the children. When I start teaching a new Sunday school class, say at the beginning of the church year, I'll often go first during check-in for several weeks to help set an appropriate tone. And I do plan what I'm going to say in advance. I do want to share something of myself with children, but I also want to be appropriate. So, for example, if I were leading a check-in right now, I'd say to the children, "I'll start check-in this week. My name is Dan. The good thing that happened to me this week is that I got to have lunch with my old friend Mike that I've known since I was a child. and the bad thing that happened to me is that I had a sore throat earlier in the week. So that's how I would check in. And then I'd turn to one of the children next to me and say, okay, now it's your turn.
How do the children respond to check-in?
Well, if you're starting to do check-in for the first time with a group, they will usually be a little tentative at first. They may not know quite what to say. They may never have done anything like this in their lives. So that happened to me with a Sunday school class that I was teaching this past fall at 11 o'clock. Many of them had never done check-in at first, and they were very unsure about this new thing. Some of the children passed, they wouldn't say anything, they'd say nothing but their names, and this went on for like 6 weeks. But when children come to understand check-in, they really like it. They like having the chance to talk about themselves, and it may be the one place in their lives where an adult who is not a parent or a grandparent listens closely to their hopes and dreams, their successes and failures. And it may be the only place in their lives where they can talk openly about themselves to other kids without worrying about being judged.
But don't children sometimes are cruel to one another, and how do you make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons we adults have to participate in check-in right alongside the kids. First of all, if we're willing to make ourselves a little vulnerable, it makes it easier for the children to allow themselves to be a little vulnerable. And I always have a major rule when we do check-in, a rule that says only one person may speak at a time. That rule makes it very difficult for another child to belittle or to make fun of or to negatively judge the child who is speaking. And I'm very firm, I'm friendly, but I'm very firm about enforcing this rule. One child will be checking in, another child will start to speak, and I'll smile at them and I'll say very firmly, remember, the rule is only one person at a time gets to speak. I'll say, you get your chance to speak later, or you've already had your turn. And so usually the only time I have this problem is if there are two siblings in the same class. And a lot of times they like to comment on each other. And I'm just very firm about maintaining the rule that only one person speaks at a time. And if it's siblings, I might even make a joke about how I don't want to have to deal with siblings fighting in this class because it reminds me too much of fighting with my own sisters.
What other problems come up when you do check-in with children?
Well, check-in can be quite hard for shy and timid children. And this is especially a problem with younger children. Some younger children may be so shy at first that they don't even want to say their own names out loud. And so I just smile at these children, and I don't make a big deal out of it, and move on to the next child. And eventually they'll come around. It might take a couple of months. Check-ins can be really hard to manage with young children. 3- and 4-year-olds simply may not have the patience to listen to one another. So I'll keep check-in brief with this age group, and I'll just ask them to say one thing that happened to them maybe this morning. And I don't worry if the other children are paying attention or are not paying attention. It's still good for that young child who is speaking to be listened to seriously by an adult. And I'd also say check-ins can be hard for newcomers, for new children in the class. If there are new children in the class, I try to set things up so that several of the regular children will check in first. What I have found, though, is that if I'm doing check-ins regularly with a Sunday school class, so that the other children are used to it and looking forward to checking in, then it's much easier for the newcomers to participate.
It sounds like check-ins help build community in the Sunday school class. Is that true?
I think that is indeed true.
And I guess it links to one of our big goals is to build community, and we want children to feel like they're part of a community and have fun.
Right, and I believe that check-in is one of the best tools we have to help children feel that they are a part of a community. I know some kids really look forward to it, and they will even ask to do check-in if they think I have forgotten it. And doing check-in at the beginning of the class time sets a really nice tone for the rest of the class, which makes it possible to deepen that sense of community as the class progresses.
Now, one way we measure the goal of having fun and building community is by tracking attendance as a percentage of enrollment. If you do regular check-ins, will that increase attendance?
I don't have any firm data on that. And because there are so many variables, it would probably be very difficult to prove that check-ins actually increase attendance. However, at a gut level, I do feel that weekly check-ins contribute to higher attendance. I would say it's far and away one of the best tools that I have in my teacher's toolkit for building community in Sunday school classes. Let me put it this way. Check-in can take as long as 10 minutes, and that's 20% of the typical 50-minute Sunday school class time. And I would only devote that much time to an exercise that I feel is really, really worth that time.
Dan, thank you for that overview of how to include check-ins in Sunday school classes. That's it for this week's podcast on children's religious education at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Palo Alto. Thanks for listening. We welcome listeners' comments. Send us your thoughts and feedback by email or post a comment on our blog at paloaltocre.wordpress.com.
I'm Dan Harper, Assistant Minister of Religious Education.
And I'm Joe Chi, a member of the church's CRE committee and a teacher educator at Foothill College. Take care and be well.